Thank you very much, Isaiah, for introduction. It's my great pleasure to make a talk on this beautiful conference. So we start with some well-known things. The volume calculations of polyhedra in three-dimensional space, namely Euclidean one, hyperbolic or spherical, is very old and difficult problem. The first known result probably belongs to the Tartaglia, who found a volume formula for the Euclidean tetrahedra. At the present, this formula is known as a Kelly-Menger determinant. No, more precisely, if we consider an Euclidean tetrahedra with edge lengths d, then the volume is given by the following formula. Here is the volume. D is just a distance between two vertices, labeled by E and G, respectively. The most important thing in this formula is that V is just a root of quadratic equations, which we can easily recognize on this picture. And this quadratic equation has coefficients, which depends only from lengths, more precisely from square of these lengths. It's quite surprising, but this theorem has a generalization for arbitrary Euclidean polyhedra in the following way. Sabitov's theorem tells us, let P be a probably simplicial Euclidean polyhedra, then the volume V is a root of the even degree algebraic equation, whose coefficients are integer polynomials in edge length of P, depending only on combinatorial type of P. For example, if we deal with these two kinds of polyhedra of the same combinatorial type, and for simplicity we suppose that edge length in both cases are equal to 1, then both volume V1 and V2 are the root of the same algebraic equation. The classical Cauchy theorem said that if the faces of convex polyhedra are considered as a metal plate, then the polyhedra is rigid. At the same time, this rigidity theorem is not valid for non-convex polyhedra, and it's well-known examples of Brecard polyhedra, and also polyhedra constructed by Robert Connelly, which give us the first examples of the flexible polyhedra. The smallest known example is done by Stefan. It consists of 14 triangle faces and 9 edges, and the develop of this polyhedra is shown on this picture. Okay, the very important consequence of the Sabitov theorem is a positive solution of the below conjecture done by Connelly, Sabitov, and Walsh. It tells us that all flexible polyhedra keep a constant volume during the flexibility. It was shown by Viktor Aleksandrov that the below conjecture fails in spherical space. In hyperbolic space, the problem is still open. I should mention that quite recently, Moscow mathematician Guy Fulin proved a four-dimensional version of the Sabitov theorem. In the same time, the Sabitov theorem is still unknown in spherical and hyperbolic spaces. Let me start to talk about volume in the spherical and hyperbolic spaces first. I want to start with very old result obtained by Schlafly, and it's concerned with so-called orthoscheme. This is just a picture for tetrahedra. The notation A, B, and C stands for the dihedral angles of this tetrahedra. All other dihedral angles, which are not labeled here, are just pi over 2. This is just quite natural notion. Maybe I draw just very simple picture to recognize this subject. First, we consider two-dimensional case. If you want to calculate area of some polygons, some possible consideration is the following. We may produce a kind of tessellation of this polyhedra, and then consider only small piece. This small piece give us just a rectangular, right angle triangle. If we want to do similar things in three-dimensional case, I just start with some kind of polyhedra. And again, I want to calculate the volume of this guy, for example, this one. I may try to do the same procedure. I consider one point as a centrum, then we consider just a perpendicular to the face, and then consider two more lines like this. And as a result, I have a piece of our polyhedra. This will be exactly the tetrahedra under consideration. This is exactly orthoscheme. This is three-dimensional analog of right angle tetrahedra. Just believe that you can easily find three right angles and three arbitrary angles like this. So in some sense, if you are able to calculate the volume of this small tetrahedra, in principle, you can calculate full volume. But of course, the problem how to divide the arbitrary polyhedra in such a tetrahedra is quite difficult. In any case, we start with this very particular but simple situation. The result was done in the following terms. The volume of this orthoscheme is given by so-called Schlafly function. Schlafly function is defined by the following very explicit expression. Here, D is such kind of expression which exactly coincides with the square root of determinant of Gram matrix. This is determinant of Gram matrix related with this tetrahedra. Later, maybe I show more details concerning this Gram matrix, but now it's just very simple expression which is responsible for our calculations. So quite beautiful and quite nice formula which allowed to analyze the behavior of the function from analytical point of view. What happens here in hyperbolic and spherical space? First of all, I want to mention also a very old result which belongs to the Janos Bojai. A few years ago, I was talking about volumes in Budapest, and the people asked me, why you don't mention Bojai results? It was published, of course, on Hungarian language. They give me a very old book, and I recognize that in this book there is a very beautiful formula which is represented here. Bojai used a few more parameters to calculate the volume. Indeed, he used edge length, Z, and three flat angles, alpha, beta, and gamma. One of these parameters is extra parameter, this relation between four of them. But in any case, this is very explicit formula, again, to calculate the volume. Of course, I introduced this formula in the computer, everything goes perfectly, and this is exactly the correct formula. Okay, now, more or less in the same time, the situation with volume was investigated by Lobachevsky, who, together with Bojai, was one of the founders of the non-Euclidean geometry. I prefer to use the Coxeter version of the Lobachevsky result here. If we consider again the orthoscheme in hyperbolic space with essential angles A, B, and C, all other angles again are pi over 2, then the volume is given essentially by the same formula, but here I is just square root from minus 1. So this is a pure imaginary expression which essentially gives the volume. This observation was done by Coxeter in 1935. Okay, now I want to consider more complicated situation from some point of view, but more beautiful. This is a so-called ideal hyperbolic tetrahedron in 3 space. All vertices of this tetrahedra align on the infinity. Since not all people are doing with the hyperbolic geometry, I just try to give some imagination. One can consider as a hyperbolic space as a unit ball in usual 3 space, like this, and then we can introduce some special kind of metric. Maybe I have to write this in some way, like this, and then this metric has a curvature which is equal to -1, and geometrically all geometry can be realized in the following way. If you want to connect 2 points by a line, this line is just a semi-circle which is orthogonal to the sphere. So this is a line in hyperbolic 3 space in this model. To draw the tetrahedra under consideration, I have to use this a few times, like this, maybe some point more, and so on. So in my situation, all 4 vertices of tetrahedra are on the infinity. In this case, if we introduce angles, dihedral angles A, B, E, C, one can easily recognize that on the link of this tetrahedra there is indeed a Euclidean geometry. So the sum of these 3 angles are exactly pi, like it's shown on my slide. And moreover, during the simple calculation, one can easily recognize that opposite dihedral angles of this tetrahedra are necessarily equal to each other. So these are the same. And in this situation, the volume formula for tetrahedra has the following form. Here, lambda stands for so-called Lobachevsky function. Indeed, this function was introduced by Milner, but Lobachevsky itself have used slightly different function. He changed just cosines here. If you use cosines function, the formula became a bit more complicated, but essentially of the same nature. This function is quite beautiful one, and probably it's a good idea to draw briefly the graph for this function. So, what we have here, we have just lambda of x, this is x, and this is a pi periodic functions, and the picture of this function is quite similar to the sine function. The only difference is the maximum point is taken pi over 3, and there are infinite derivatives of this point, so the function is not differentiable in the origin. So this is a general imagination for the function which is drawn here. Quite beautiful function. It has a lot of nice properties. And so in many cases, the volume of polyhedra can be inscribed in terms of such a function. More complicated case when just a few vertices of the polyhedra are on the infinity was investigated by Winberg. I consider also one more situation when we have again not so complicated result about volume. This is a case of ideal symmetric octahedra with all vertices on the infinity. In this case, there are again some relationship between these angles. I avoid the details, and the resulting formula is the following. The volume of ideal symmetric octahedra again can be expressed in terms of Lobachevsky function. Essentially, this result belongs to the Jana Mahanti, but in her PhD, she produced some related calculations, and sooner or later we can easily describe the volume in the terms of Lobachevsky function as well. Okay, the above mentioned partial result describe just very particular situation, and the volume formula for the arbitrary hyperbolic or maybe spherical tetrahedra for a long time was unknown. Many people tried to attack this problem, how to calculate the volume of non-Euclidean tetrahedra. Some result was obtained by Jung, who suggested a general algorithm for calculation such a volume. Later, two Korean mathematicians, Cho and Kim, obtained a formula which give a volume for the arbitrary hyperbolic tetrahedra. But this formula was slightly unsymmetric, and later two Japanese mathematicians obtained a symmetric form for the volume. But the proof they produced here was based on some physical observation. And later, young Japanese mathematician Akira Ushijima gave a mathematical proof of the results. In all these papers, the volume of tetrahedra can be expressed as an analytical formula involving 16 dialogarithms, or sometimes Lobachevsky function. And some arguments depend from special parameters, which are roots of quite complicated quadratic equation with complex coefficients. So even you introduce this in computer, you have to analyze the situation. What kind of complex roots are suitable to calculate a real volume? What are indeed extra roots? The exposition of this result, an excellent proof of volume formula, was also given in PhD by Jana Mahanti. Okay, now I represent some version of the volume formula which was obtained in joint paper with my former student Dima Derevnin. And the volume formula is just the following one. Let me consider the tetrahedra in hyperbolic space, which whose dihedral angles are A, B, C, D, and F respectively. Maybe I draw just a very simple picture to illustrate the situation. This is a tetrahedra. Angles are labeled in some manner like A, B, C. Maybe this is supposed to be D, E, and F respectively. Now, to find the volume, I have to collect this dihedral angle in some special way. The first collection is quite easy to create. This is just sum of angles which prescribe to some particular vertex, A plus B plus C. This is V1. V2 can be easily calculated, V3 and so on. So this is just these four expressions. Three more expressions are coming from Hamiltonian cycles, which are sitting of this tetrahedra. This is a one Hamiltonian cycle. This is the sum of angles along the Hamiltonian cycles. This is another Hamiltonian cycle. This is one more. For symmetric reason, we can introduce also the fourth expression, which is just zero in our situation. If we deal with this kind of notation, then the volume formula can be obtained in this way. Here, Z1 and Z2 are limits of integration, and in the same time, they are the root of this integrand. This means that this log is equal to zero, or the same as this product is equal to one. As a result, we have kind of quadratic equation, which can be easily solved, and we have also very explicit solution for such kind of roots. Some combination of elementary functions, not so important in what way. This is just square root again from the determinant of Gram matrix, which is quite useful for our calculations as well. So as a result, we have some formula how to calculate the volume of arbitrary hyperbolic tetrahedra. As a consequence of our result, we can also deduce the Murakami-Yana formula. We just recall that dial logarithm function is presented by the following integral. There is a good relationship between this function and Lobachevsky one. If we consider the dial logarithm from exponential expression, then the imaginary part of this small l is given us exactly Lobachevsky function up to scales. As a result, the volume of tetrahedra can be expressed in the following way, which was suggested by Murakami and Yana. This is just imaginary part of these two functions, and each function is just this kind of combination with these angles. So this is essentially the same, but slightly different analytical approach. Okay. So a lot of people were trying to find the volume of arbitrary tetrahedra, but it was quite surprising that a century ago, in the 1906, Italian mathematician Sforza found a formula for the volume of non-Euclidean tetrahedra. This formula became known after my lecture and discussion with Jose Maria Montesinos at the conference in Spain in August 2006. I would be glad to say about this formula also a few words. Okay, so this Sforza formula can use so-called Gram matrix for tetrahedra. Maybe I should say something about this Gram matrix because it's quite easy to define it. What is Gram matrix? Gram matrix, in my consideration, is just matrix formed by diahedral angles. Diahedral angles is related with IG is 1, 2, 3, 4. Diahedral angles are just related with edges. So this is just A, 1, 2. In my notation it's slightly different. So this is Gram matrix. It's well known fact that any tetrahedra in hyperbolic space, also in spherical space, can be uniquely determined by this matrix. So the full information about structure of tetrahedra are already contained in its Gram matrix. So let G be a Gram matrix for hyperbolic tetrahedra. We also consider a kind of minors for this matrix. Then the volume of tetrahedra T is given by the following integral. Here is square root from minus of determinant, because the determinant is negative in the case of hyperbolic tetrahedra. And here the limit of integration, one of the limit of integration, is just root of this equation. Just believe that this is just quadratic equation with respect to the cos of A. So in some sense it's quite easy to investigate this situation. Sure, this formula is not symmetric in some way. One angle is particular one, but in any case, this is quite simple expression to calculate the volume. So the story, in some sense, stopped in this place. I told to my colleague from Japan that there is a very old result, but they still not accept it. Japanese was the first. Okay, so this is funny. Just very roughly how to prove this theorem. I just, because nobody knows this Sforza paper, it's published in Italian 100 years ago. The main idea was to use the so-called Jacobi relations between determinant of matrix and the determinants of its submatrix. I can show this later how it's working in our particular situation. More precisely, if we consider the Gram matrix, which is related with our tetrahedra, and this matrix is just a joint matrix for this one. This is just minors, respective minors. Then the Jacobi said us that the determinant of this small submatrix and this another one are related to each other by this very simple relation. It was discovered independently by Akira Ushijima, but in the case of Sforza, he used very, very ancient book where this formula was obtained a long time ago. As a result, we can easily use two formulas to calculate the length. The first is so-called cosine theorem, which is quite common, essentially the same as for triangle. And using this one and the previous expression, we can calculate also the sine of length using the square root of determinant of Gram matrix. As a result, we can easily find exponent expression of this length in this way, and to make it more symmetric, we can divide one formula by another and use the same kind of expression. So length can be determined. In the same time, for a long time, this was known, the so-called Schlafly formula, which relates the differential of volume with differential of angles. Here L alpha is just edge length, which related with dihedral angles alpha. Alpha is going through these six numbers, which are also shown here. As a result, since the expression for this differential can be found, we want just to choose a very specific way to differentiate this form. We use the integration, which is taking over the path from one point to the another, when all points except A are supposed to be fixed. If they are fixed, all members of this expression disappear except the first one. And as a result, we have exactly the Sforza formula, which was shown before. One can easily to define the root of equation to start the differential in this case. Okay, so sorry for this analytical approach, because my first subject was complex analysis. I like to produce some kind of formula, but maybe sometimes it's not exactly geometrical. Well, now let me consider a slightly different situation. Now I want to use some idea which was posed to me by Sabitov. In some of paper he said, if polyhedra admit some symmetry, maybe very small symmetry, in this case the volume formula should be simplified. So we start with more or less symmetric case when the opposite angles of tetrahedra are equal. So A and D are the same, C and F are the same, B and E are the same. And ask it, what about the full volume for non-Euclidean tetrahedra in this case? The following result can be obtained. If T is a symmetric hyperbolic tetrahedra, then the volume is given by the following integral. Here A, B, and C are just cosines of dihedral angles, and this additional parameter, theta, is defined from the following equations. This is exactly the science rule for the tetrahedra. So it's quite geometrical meaning of this notion, and as a result, we can find more or less explicit expression for the volume. Of course, you are not able to express this integral through elementary function, but in any case, you can analyze this expression from analytical point of view. Okay. Now I just mention something about the Gram matrices again. If we start with the tetrahedra shown on my picture, then usually the people like to relate two different kinds of Gram matrices with it. The first was already defined in my formula, and the second one is formed by cosh of edge lengths of the tetrahedra. In some sense, it's a dual matrices. Then, to produce some result related with volume calculations, we need the following expressions. The first so-called science rule probably is known for a long time. It contains in very old paper of Ovidio. It also can be found in the book of Coolidge and was reproved in the book of Fenhel. In all cases, they use completely different terms, completely different approach to do this, but more or less the modern statement of this result is the following. If we consider the science of angles and science hyperbolic of edge lengths, we have the following relation. Exactly these two Gram matrices are involved to find the results of this expression. Analyzing the proof of this theorem, we find also some more relations, so-called cosine rule. It seems to be new, but quite possible this is just well forgotten result. So if we consider the cosines, then we have essentially the same expression. It helps us a lot to calculate the volume in many cases. Okay, now I want to say something more about symmetric octahedra. The idea to calculate the volume of symmetric tetrahedra also belongs to Sabitov, as it was done for Euclidean octahedra. Indeed, there are, I think, 24 different types of symmetries which allowed to be on the tetrahedra or the octahedra. I consider just two of them. I start with the so-called MMM symmetry. This is just very simple consideration. One can easily find three planes of symmetry which are orthogonal to each other. This is one plane of symmetry, this one. This is another plane of symmetry. And one more can be also recognizable. So three mutually orthogonal plane of symmetry. I don't know, maybe it's a good idea to draw something independently. But essentially what this means is the following. I draw, is that something like that, the three orthogonal line. Then we introduce just edges in this way. Then we want to reflect in all possible direction to produce a tetrahedra. As a result, we have this kind of tetrahedra. And so on. And we continue also here and here. So the coordinate planes are supposed to be planes of reflection of this tetrahedra. Well, even in this situation, the question how calculate non-Euclidean volume is a bit delicate problem. And we have the following results. If O is a spherical octahedra having MMM symmetry, then the following identities take a place. Here A, B, C capital are just dihedral angles, and small are just for edge lengths. We have a kind of science tangent theorem, which is quite unusual, but it takes a place. Certainly, you can find also Euclidean analog of this statement. It's quite elementary calculation, but we need non-Euclidean version. In non-Euclidean case, we can recognize this T and K like a root of some special quadratic equation, which can be easy find in terms of lengths here. Okay, so this was the starting point of our investigation. And based on this formula, we are able to find a spherical volume for octahedra having exactly this MMM symmetry. The volume is given by the following integral. Here X capital is just cos of angle. And this additional parameter, which we need to integrate, is exactly related with angle and lengths by this specific root. This is just sine tangent rule. Quite similar to the previous situation, but for me it was quite unusual that angles and tangent of lengths are related by this kind of expression. Okay, I just remember that the Euclidean version of this result was obtained by Sabitov and his collaborator. If we consider a Euclidean octahedra having MMM symmetry, then the volume of this tetrahedra is a positive root of the following equation. Here everything we have just edge lengths, Euclidean edge lengths of tetrahedra. This is quite elementary, but of course they have used a general approach from Sabitov theorem to calculate the volume in this particular case as well. Okay. Now some more symmetry. This is just slight modification of the previous situation. But now we have just rotation followed by reflection. Slightly different symmetry, and you can recognize some relation between these ages and lengths. Probably I avoid detail, but what is important, one more three parameter is added here. Before it was just three parameter, now there are four arbitrary parameters to define this geometrical situation. In this case, we have quite similar result. The volume of spherical octahedra having 2m symmetry is given by the following integral. Before it was just three expressions, 1, 2, 3, now one more added, like this one. And these parameters are related again by sine tangent rule, which is chi modification of the previous one. And theta, which is the limit of integration, again can be defined from this sine tangent rule as well. So this problem also completely solved, and I just want to mention to the Euclidean version, which was obtained by Sabitov. If we consider a Euclidean octahedra having M2 symmetry, then the volume of this polyhedra is a positive root of the following equation. Of course, Euclidean case is much more easy to deal with. Okay. This is just, in some sense, the dual situation to the previous one. The dual polyhedra to the octahedra supposed to be a kind of cube or maybe hexagon with some particular angles and lengths. As a result, more or less applying the same technique, we're able to find the spherical volume of this guy as well. I should mention that this is a real part of integral. So integral in general gives us complex number. Since we are looking for the volume, we need just real part. So situation slightly changed. Essentially the same analytical function are needed, but we should be careful with behavior of these analytical functions. Okay, now I switch a bit the subject, and instead of octahedra, I consider a cube, but maybe this also cube was before. I start with the following three-dimensional polyhedra whose name is Lambert cube. This is a natural generalization of the Lambert quadrilateral, which is just face of this gun. It's well known from the paper which related to the beginning of the non-Euclidean geometry. Sometimes people try to prove or disprove the fifth postulate. So this is just idea of this tetrahedra. But this is three-dimensional version of it. Then we want again calculate the volume of this guy in the hyperbolic and spherical space. The calculation in hyperbolic space was produced by Ruth Kellehart. It was a subject of her PhD a long time ago. But we use slightly different geometrical approach, which allowed us also to give an answer in spherical case as well. So we denote so-called essential lengths of this polyhedra by L alpha, L beta, and gamma. And the dihedral angles which prescribe to these ages are exactly alpha, beta, and gamma. All other angles are pi over 2, like in the case of orthosheme. So in some sense, this is a dense surgery on the orthosheme. I avoid details. Just look on the picture and you may recognize something which is related with orthosheme as well. So, what is the result? The result is the following. The volume of Lambert cube, in this case the angle supposed to be quite big, is given by the following formula, where delta is just kind of analytical expression which is given by the following integral. And again, theta is angle, which can be defined as the root of some big quadratic equation, and indeed everything is shown here. Again, you can ask about geometrical sense of this parameter. It can be easy find. If we consider again this Lambert cube, which was shown before. Some particular angles and maybe lenses, then we can describe this. Oh, I don't remember which kind of notation was here. They stand for the dihedral angles, and respectively we have also the edge lenses in this case as well. Then the relation between these two kind of things is given by the following tangent rule. It's quite simple. Tangent of alpha divided by tangent of length is the same for all essential edges. Tangent gamma and tangent L gamma, and it gives us exactly the parameter we need to find the limit of integration. So in some sense this is quite natural parameter to calculate the volume. Okay, now I should say that this delta small was discovered during our investigation with Dima-Dirimin, but we understand this is just a kind of spherical analog of the following combination of Lobachevsky function. There are no direct connection between hyperbolic version and the spherical version of this function, but the formula we obtained is quite similar. So the main results of Ruth-Kelly-Hultz for hyperbolic volume of Lambert cube can be also obtained by replacing of our function delta small by function delta capital and k to minus k. This is quite natural, but the proof in both cases is quite different. Okay, now I want to say something more about this Lambert cube. A long time ago, Coxeter analyzed the volume of spherical orthosheme, and he recognized that in some very particular case, when the essential angles of tetrahedra are related by this formula, the volume is just a polynomial in terms of dihedral angles, this kind of polynomial. Certainly, we tried to discover the analog of Coxeter formula in our case, and as a result, we have the following theorem. Let L be a spherical Lambert cube whose essential dihedral angles, the 3a, alpha, beta, and gamma, are related by the following equation. Then the volume is again a rational expression in terms of angle, quite symmetric and quite beautiful. So this is natural generalization of the Coxeter formula. Okay, so probably quite interesting to calculate some very particular results in this case. We find a few angles which are just rational multiple of pi, which are indeed related by this. As a result, the volume of this Lambert cube is given by some rational number multiple by this. And this told us again about so-called rational volume problem, rational volume conjecture. There are no special authors for this conjecture. Something was written even in the Thurston paper, very brief mention, and also can be found in some book on geometry, but the sense is the following. Let P be a spherical polyhedra whose dihedral angles are rational multiple of pi. Then the volume of this polyhedra is supposed to be a rational multiple of pi squared. In all cases, when we are able to calculate the volume, this is true. But of course, nothing to say in general case. Quite surprising that analytical formula are already done. Sometimes they are looking just very simple way. But still, this problem is open. If we consider just a Coxeter polyhedra, which is sitting inside of spherical space, in this case, all dihedral angles of polyhedra are of the form pi over n, where n is some suitable integer. Well known that reflections in the sides, in the faces of this polyhedra, fill all sphere. So a few copy of this polyhedra give us a complete sphere. Since the volume of three-dimensional sphere is well known, this 2 times p squared, then we can easily to calculate the volume of Coxeter polyhedra in spherical space. It's just a size of Coxeter group, and this is a volume of sphere. Easy to see that this is a rational multiple of pi squared. Again, if polyhedra is obtained by gluing together a few copies of Coxeter ones, we have that the conjecture is true. It was shown by young Moscow mathematician well, about her name, I know her very nice, that this particular lambda cube is the only one cube which can be formed using a few copies of Coxeter polyhedra. Indeed, I think we need 31 copies of Coxeter polyhedra to construct this cube. But this is the only one case that the cube can be constructed using the Coxeter polyhedra. No, in any case, this conjecture is still open, and I invite people to contribute to this conjecture as well. Well, maybe that's all. Again, if the symmetry group is too rich, you can divide a polyhedra in tetrahedra with very nice geometrical structure. But the volume for tetrahedra are already done before. So in symmetric, in highly symmetric case, of course, it's quite easy. But if the symmetry is not too big, for example, just Z2 symmetry, I can do this just in a few cases. For example, octahedra with antipodal symmetry, quite natural situation. It's still open problem how to calculate the volume. It done in Euclidean case, of course, according to the Sabitov theorem, but in hyperbolic and spherical case, I have no answer. Quite easy, quite natural question, but no answer in this moment. Thank you.